Welcome to the Tech Vittori podcast, where we will explore the hottest topics in connectivity and digitalization with some of the industry's leading minds.
Digital innovation ecosystems, cultivating funding for innovation and empowering European industry. Today we and yesterday we've heard the dire situation in Europe with innovation and digitalization, and some people would wonder, no, we're quite good off, why not? We are here because we know what we're talking about. So let's see. Please welcome moderator Maria Lema, CEO of Vivro Labs. Maria. Welcome to the stage and good luck, I would say. And let's see who are your panelists.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I think there is a lot of innovation in Europe and a lot of innovation in the world. And we're here to discuss with our experts on how the innovation is funded and how we can actually follow the life cycle of an idea into a successful company. I was reading some details the other day about Angel Investor Network in the UK. They made a survey to try to understand the state of funding, and half of the founders do not know how to navigate the funding scheme. They start and they don't know where to get the money from. So hopefully we can cover that and shed some light on this. So I'll just quickly give the floor to my panelists to introduce yourselves, and then I'll just start shooting some questions. And yes, by all means, we want to hear from you and what you are interested in hearing about from the experts. So, Savis, let's start with you.
Short introduction.
Yes, please.
Yeah. Yeah, hello everyone. Salvis is my name, and actually I have two caps today. So the one is I'm managing one of European digital innovation hubs in Latvia. So we have two of edX here. So I'm on the board of one of them. And another cap is I'm vice mayor of the Liepāja City Council. So Liepāja is the third biggest city in Latvia, in the western part of Latvia. So happy to be here.
Thank you. Thank you. Peter?
Hey, my name is Peter. I'm a venture partner with Accelerace, which is a Danish pre-seed VC fund. So I have a little bit of less experience on the public funding side, though a lot of our startups do combine that with venture funding. So basically, we're investing in very early stage companies across the Nordics and Baltics.
Thank you. Christian?
Yeah, thank you. Christian Maasen, my name. I'm a partner expert for hyperconnectivity at Datacon, the consulting arm of Deutsche Telekom. And with a former past and yet a passion for the digital ecosystems, for example, having built the one at WTH Aachen University campus as one of the, I would say, quite big industry ecosystems in Europe, and still trying to spread the word about that.
We will discuss definitely the need for ecosystems in innovation. And you, please.
Yeah, Uwe Beder from Rohde & Schwarz. Rohde & Schwarz is a company that is in the field for test and measurement, mainly for communication devices and communication systems. However, we also have a lot of solutions directly for communication systems. For example, ATC, but also military radio, for example. And maybe just to add and to just repeat, because our CTO just gave out the message, innovation is in our DNA. And I think to be in the market, so we are 90 years now in the market, so I think that doesn't qualify as a startup anymore. So it means, but even with an established company, you always need to be on the forefront of innovation. Otherwise, you will be not in the market anymore.
100%. So I think your views are going to be super interesting into how we create sustainable innovation in the companies. So let's start from the beginning, right? We have an idea, and there is a stage of funding for each, you know, part of where is the idea? Is it really early stage? Are we just, you know, nurturing that idea? Are we at a pilot stage? Are we at a trial stage? And each funding, it may sound like it's not, but each type of funding makes sense for each stage of the idea, right? And I would like to hear your views on what does that mean, and the potential funding available for the stages of the idea that you work with. So, Savis, let's start with you, and then we will just go with everyone. And I'd like to hear the thoughts from everyone on that.
Yeah, great question. And I agree with you that there is funding available on the market. And from Latvia side, we see that EU or Europe is our home market, so that means not only in Latvia available funding is for Latvian startups, but the market is much broader to attract investments, to attract grants. And but I think what I saw in the ecosystem here in Latvia, so it's always important to see or to figure out what kind of money is the most suitable money for you, for your project, for development of your project, and it's. And usually startups are looking for grants, for grant programs, for grants, and just to have a like gifted money. But the mindset is transforming in Latvian startup ecosystem as well, and the demand is coming as a first point. If there is demand, then you will find money on the market. Is it investment? Is it angel investment? Is it grant? Is it some kind of combination? Is it loan maybe partly? So the money is there. What we see in Latvia is that the money is even more than good projects. Let's name it so.
You hear that, right?
Yeah, there is a little gap. So Latvia is open for innovations, and we see a lot of talented people, but we would love to have more.
Okay, interesting. Well, a call for innovators coming to Latvia. Peter, I'd love to hear your thoughts from the venture funding perspective. First of all, like, what type of funding is available when you're just like super early stage? What does it mean to be early stage as well from a venture funding perspective? What is a fundable idea? For you?
Yeah, I think in general, one thing that people oftentimes confuse with venture, it's, I mean, VCs are ready to invest very early in a lot of cases, right? So for venture, more of a qualifying criteria is actually the potential outcome of that business, right? So I think that's also one of the challenges with all these support programs, both in private and public money, is that we sort of are lumping all the startups in one bucket together, right, and say, hey, what can they do? But it's actually very different depending on what you're doing. Also based on the stage, but also just purely on the market opportunity you have there, right? So oftentimes, like most of the main reason why we say no to companies is basically we don't see them becoming venture cases. We don't see them returning 100x or 1000x our money. And if it's not the case, that doesn't work for our business model. It doesn't mean that it's a bad company, right? It just means that it's not a venture case. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the first very important part. And I think a lot of the public funding can, and a lot of these companies can still become insanely successful and valuable for their own, in their own right, and for their economies and so on. But we don't need to push everyone down that venture path. And a lot of these programs that are available from the public money side should actually be addressing, I think, this gap. Then I think on the private money side, I think specifically in Latvia, we still have some challenges around A, the amount of capital that's available here, B, also the sophistication of the capital to some degree, right? Because we don't have here venture management teams that have been running their business for 20 years. So for these startups, especially the ones going on a venture journey, capital is one part of the equation, but actually having the support around how to deploy that capital, how to actually go to market and all these things, I think that's crucial. I think that's one of those things that's oftentimes actually missing in a lot of these public support programs, whether that be money grants for research, whether that be just some other grants, like all sorts of these things, because they focus only on the money, but like money only gets you so far, right? Especially if you're first-time founders and so on. So I think that's how I think about this early stage.
That's a great point there. It's just the smart money, right?
Yep.
Don't just bring the money, but bring the effort. That's a great point. So Christian, you have Aachen, right? University, that's come university to industry and that idea formulation to the venture creation. So what are your views on the funding and the possibilities of an idea to be created into a successful company?
Yeah, that's a good question. It actually, since it came from research where we started the whole endeavor, you deal a lot with completely funded research projects and so on, maybe national, might be on the European level and so on. That helps to a certain extent, of course. But always the problem is you have a long start, you apply for something, you're not sure if you get it or not, since many others have the same idea, strangely. And then you run it for 3 years and might come out with some commercial output or so on. The question is that sustainable in the end? Just applying for more and more of these things and running them for a certain amount of time and just having the money and maybe some of the expertise of others, which is the good part. So this kind of consortial approach, mm-hmm. sharing knowledge, sharing insights, and most likely also requirements that you can build the right thing at the right start. So the question is, could we go one step further? That's what we tried with this Aachen ecosystem, creating something more for the why. Because why do we need funding? Because there's a lot of risk involved. We don't know if we will be successful and so on. So it's the way reducing the risks and also reducing the costs in doing that and bringing innovation, which is directly needed, which is directly to the point required by industry and so on. So that was something we were aiming for, and results not in 3 to 4 years' time, but regularly checked and validated. That works quite well with money, actually, if it's working or not in the end. Is someone buying it or willing to buy it or not? Then you have results each 3 to 6 months and can iterate faster. And then it's quite easy also to get to the next stages of funding. Also the startups we had in that ecosystem, the ones which were founded or they joined, because they could directly validate with other players, with potential users, is it something or not? And venture capitalists, which came in, just saw, oh yeah, they had that validation from the start, we can give them the next round of funding mm-hmm. directly from there. So a new kind of approach, and also rather going also in the support section, not only here you have some money, no, we help you set up the environment that the risk of failing is way lower yeah. from the very beginning. And that, I think, is more sustainable help for sustainable growth as well.
That's great. And Uwe, you come from a very different perspective, right? Established company, I think most of the innovators, when you start a business, if they tell you, sign here and you're going to be around for 90 years, most would would like yeah. that. That is definitely a sign of success. But you still look for funding for a certain aspects. What's your view on the available funding for innovation?
Well, on the one hand, so besides this 90 years, we are all also still family owned. So usually we can think in a long cycle. So when we go for one idea, we can continuously working on that if we believe that this will be a successful product or solution at the end. That's the one thing. Now you could ask why is funding and funded projects for us quite important. And I would mainly go into the larger projects when we discuss the 6G projects, the joint undertakings, but also in Europe, the important projects of common European interest, the IPCEI programs, which usually are a bit larger. For us, that is important because we also rely on this community if you are in such funded community in such a larger funded project, and it's then for us important also to be part of it, also to see if these ideas that we brought in as a project are meaningful for the market to some extent. And this you can judge very good if you are part in these larger constellations, so to say. And that is why we still look into these funded projects, especially if they are in a larger context for, say, 6G or chipset development or building the capabilities back again in Europe. I think this is also something, sometimes not the pure innovation front. It's now that we need to discuss sovereignty as well. And this comes at a cost. And maybe this needs to be funded as well, also for established companies.
Yeah, and I think you You guys made a point about ecosystems, and that is really, really important. And especially when it comes to deep tech and very, you know, chipsets or futuristic ideas that potentially don't have an established market to go into. And we really need to find places with other people that are like-minded, that understand what we're talking about and are willing to develop those ideas into products. But I think there is a risk, right? If we are always feeding the business with innovation grants. And the risk is, and I think, Christian, you touched upon this a little bit, which is the focus, right? The risk is that we can become, you know, just innovation labs and not really companies that often we lose that objective, that it's our objective as companies is to find customers and make a profitable business out of that. So, Peter, I'd like to hear your views from venture capitalists, present here, saying, what are your views on grants? Do you like them? Do you not like them? Do you welcome them? And then what are your views on how can we help founders benefit from these, you know, what Uwe was mentioning, and the ecosystems, while at the same time staying focused on the objectives?
Yeah, I think grants also come in all sorts of shapes and forms, so it's hard to say whether it's good or bad. I think overall, from purely as a VC, we actually do like grants, because especially if the companies are getting them at the same time as we're investing, it's basically a way for us to limit dilution for the founders, but get more capital in the company, right? So it's a great at its core. At the same time, as you sort of pointed at that as well, as regarding the question is what's the cost of that, and if it's a cost in terms of your focus, it's sometimes a cost of lack of flexibility in the future, because grant says you need to do XYZ, but maybe you found out after 2 months in the market that you're pivoting and building something else. So there's all sorts of problems. So the ones that, for example, when we operate in Denmark, they have a lot of soft funding available, and it's actually structured in a way where we like to work with that a lot. At the early stages, that's basically they provide capital to the companies, essentially pay salaries for the founders. So there's no sort of you need to develop this, or that it's basically, hey, this is runway for you to have time to figure things out. And so we enjoy that a lot. Yeah. Doesn't require a lot of paperwork, and it's reasonable. I think it's like you can get easily a couple hundred thousand euros in that kind of way, which is a big amount of money if you're just starting out. So we're positive. Again, like with these larger, we don't have a lot of experience with these large EU, sort of used to be these Horizon grants. I'm not sure what they're called right now, if that's the same or something else. But like with those, at least I remember that usually companies would really go down this, very tricky path of if they got that money, and VCs and us included would oftentimes actually look as a negative signal, basically showing that companies cannot get that money in the private markets. So I think to sort of try to bring it back together, basically we like it if it's aligned with what we're doing. I think it can be very tricky as a standalone thing, because again, back to the sort of component of actually having advice and knowing what to do with the money, right? If it's only a grant that you get from EU or your state, and you just keep going at it by yourself, it's probably not going to have the desired result. So I think in combination with private capital, that's the best way how we see that working.
Salvis, do you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I actually agree what was said. So every money costs something, right?
There's no free lunch.
And yeah, right. So somebody need to pay for it. And even if it's grant money, so it costs something. And you are very strict in rules. Therefore, I mentioned previously, so it's always important to decide what kind of money is the most relevant for my project, for me. And sometimes it's not even money. So if it's very early stage, of course, in the research phase, we need to finance man hours, so to say. But if we are getting to the piloting phase, for example, so at least in Latvia case, so Riga, I know Liepāja city, they are ready, or cities are ready to open like sandboxes or to let new products, technologies to test in the cities. So which is also a very important point to get first recommendation to test your product, to test your technology. And this is not the topic about attraction of money. This is about cooperation. And you all, and therefore it's important and it's very useful to have right mentors close to you to get right suggestions, not to jump for the first money available on the investor market or the grant market, but to see how you can reach the awaited result in the most sufficient or efficient way.
Yeah, my experience on jumping on the first money available is that it's a bad idea. Usually it's a bad deal. And especially when you come out of your university with a great idea and you know nothing about fundraising. I would be categorized with all of those 50% founders who had no idea how to navigate the ecosystem. But Christian, I'd like to come back to the importance of ecosystems and link to what Salvis was saying in the context of commercialization and testing. So oftentimes when we go with an innovation in the digital space, there are big incumbents who already dominate the market. And for young innovators, it's really difficult to compete in features, right? Feature set. We come with an innovation. We don't come with a breadth of features. So testing, living labs, like cities, and ecosystems become your beachhead, become the way that you can find a niche. So can you expand on that and examples and companies you've worked with that, you mentioned the IoT sector as well a lot when we talked, and I think that can be really inspiring for people who are thinking about commercialization.
Yeah, I think you have to take it apart then also from the usual grant business, because that one is not really following the speed of the innovation process, the innovation cycles as we see it. Mm-hmm. So it also makes it trickier with commercialization. Since these cycles also tend to kind of coincide with a level of organization you have developed. So the bigger the company, the more levels of organizational whatever on top you created, of overhead and so on, makes you slower. Whenever you make that slower and the market is actually quite fast, there you build kind of a niche, or it creates itself in the end. Then new players can come in, even small players. As we always hear, because they are faster and so on, quite often the big ones can wait and see because they dry up. Beforehand, they weren't successful, they didn't make the right pitch at the right time or the right pivot at the right time, and they're gone. So everything stays the same. So that's why I would rather advocate, as said before, to give them this ecosystem, this environment where they can thrive, where they have a better shot, their better first shot, and maybe even help the big ones, the tankers and so on of the companies to find their way. Because we had it in the discussion also yesterday, today as well, in the panel and the sessions. Did we do a good job with the technologies as we had so far? The 5G, some were saying, is a failure, is a big success. Answer might be in between. Might have smaller companies helped us with that, because they can tailor differently. They are not like the big vendors we have seen, who are tailored to only one, two, three operators per country or so on. Because the small ones can go to a niche. They can just tailor a 5G solution for a hospital, and maybe also only small hospitals or something like that, they can be faster with that. Mm-hmm. And can actually, or could make use of what the others can provide, and creating a new solution together, ecosystem solution, none of them could have brought, either because of the speed and the flexibility to the market, or of the money and the resources behind it and the big portfolio already in place. And so that everyone can find their niche and together address a solution which couldn't have been there before. So I think it's rather not one or the other, but a together game. Yeah, you will see more and more, or you need to see more and more, and then even the small ones can thrive.
Yeah, yeah, that's a great point. Like finding a joint go-to-market with someone else and going after it sometimes is really key to scale as well. Uwe, you mentioned something when we were chatting about using the funding to develop products and be very strategic about the product development with these sources of funding, which obviously it helps you attack different areas. And there are tons of companies that do it very successful, but it is hard, right? It's really hard to kind of like keep the requirements of that grant funding that you're writing to meet the demands of your product development. So how do you make it match? And how do you go about delivering the project in the consortium and ecosystem, but at the same time delivering your own roadmap?
Mm. Yeah. First of all, you need to distinguish between different funding projects, right? So usually most of the projects are either, or let's say, having a focus on really research and development. So when we're talking about the joint undertakings in Europe, for example, or lots of the projects which come out of the German Ministry for Research and Development, they are in a very, very early stage, even in a pre-competition stage. That is usually not a problem because this can be funded without a lot of, you know, looking into competition, putting money into some products which would have been developed anyway. So that's the one thing. On the other hand, you might need to fund projects to gain a little bit sovereignty back again, what I earlier mentioned. And this is exactly where, for example, the tool of the IPCEI in Europe is coming in, because this program can fund into the product. And what you need for that is the funding is still national money. However, you need to get the European layer and European Commission, so to say, waiving the competition concerns on this. And this is the construct that IPCEI is following. And this is quite important for some areas where in Europe we need to bring back capabilities in our ecosystem. Some parts cannot only be done by startups, especially when you have to invest into hardware. That is usually something where probably it's not so easy to bring something up from scratch. Software is a little bit a different thing. That might be better possible. I'm not saying it's not impossible one or the other way, but there's a tendency to do so. So from that perspective, we have been joining this IPCEI project because we saw value in there to gain back also things we learned, supply chain concerns. We have all seen during COVID times that's important to have this under our control back again. And so that is why we joined this program for the IPCEI microelectronics communication technology. And what we learned with this project is also that this creates a wonderful ecosystem that you speak with other companies, you speak with other projects, and you see how can you benefit from each other. So then you have in this project, because this has different working packages, I would say, stages along the value chain. So we can speak to a substrate manufacturer and so on. And then we can discuss with him during that we meet in the overall management of the IPCEI. And so this forms then also this ecosystems which we benefit all from then.
That's great. I think that's a great source of funding for product development as well. And I want to stay with you and ask a question about acquisitions. So is that, and it doesn't have to be specific on the company, but more from the perspective of the ecosystem, right? When we want to develop an idea internally, when is it worth it to go for an acquisition? And when is it worth it to maybe develop that idea further? Is there an answer? Maybe there's no answer. Maybe if there is an idea, let's go and buy it. or we want to hold the competitive advantage, we want to do it. Yeah, what's your view on that?
Yeah. Maybe again from our point of view, so we mainly focus on strategic acquisitions. So that is we usually look into neighboring areas where we see we can supplement our portfolio. So this is usually the strategy that we follow. So to give you an example, because it's public and you can read it everywhere. So 2.5 years ago, we acquired a company called Zurich Instruments. They are experts for instrumentation for physical experiments, but are experts also to control quantum computing. So it's classical electro and frequency stuff they do, but they come with a different aspects and a different customer base, and are experts on something which we have not been so much focusing on. So that was quite a good complement to the work we do. And so usually we see investments, acquisitions in that sense. How can we grow in areas but this acquisition needs to fit somehow to our portfolio that we already have.
Makes sense. Going back to the public funding, one thing that I think it was common when we all talked was about the overhead that brings that public funding, right? There's a lot of administrative work that we need to do, and sometimes even deters us from going for this. So I want to throw in two questions. One is, what can we do to be more efficient in terms of reporting, and how can we do that? And what is the impact of the level of administrative work that we're asked from either the commission or the grant holders? And the other thing is, do we have enough KPIs to show that we are actually delivering on what we want to deliver in terms of, are we bringing back those capabilities to Europe? Are we further developing any ideas that we wanted to develop as nations? Who wants to start? Christian, do you want to go with this?
Sure. My question is, with which one to start, if it's the KPIs or the other, then in the end. I think the KPIs, from time to time, we make it too complicated, or at least also when we were discussing the different ecosystems we built and so on, with the companies, what's the ultimate measure if you're successful? That's basically if you're commercially successful. If that idea makes money, or someone wants to invest, wants to participate and so on, that's like, think of the only measure in the end. And you can fulfill many intermediate ones, which might be more qualitative in nature, but overall, they help you when you qualify the people, when you bring in the sovereignty and so on. That has to be a value for someone that they actually would invest and buy that product, that portfolio in the end. Otherwise, it's just artificial. Artificial in that way that you keep it funded and it runs as long as it's funded. Then you leave the funding be, and that's it. That's what we unfortunately see with quite some of research projects that don't really go on. So I'm rather a friend of the idea, not just throwing money at them, but rather, as we heard also before, Uwe, you said it as well, that's giving a community which can help, which can support, and rather funding the community, if it's an IPSCI or something like that, because that really helps. And that you can modulate with the funding. How do you want it? Should it be a European community and so on, because without sovereignty? There you can set the goals according to that. But I think past that, it has to be lean, flexible, and in a way measured by its own success, so that we don't create something which only survives as long as you put money into it from the start, but which reaches, might not be with the first month or so on. Give it 1-2 years or something like that when you start such a community, but it has to gain a stage of self-sufficiency, as we see with all platform business we have out there. When we can reach that, we know it's successful, that it can grow on its own in the end, that the players within the system, the users, the providers, also others in the wider ecosystem, they would fund it on their own even, because it's that useful. And the ultimate measure might be then just the monetary one.
I agree, but there are some ideas that cannot live sustainable after 2 years. And they need, it needs a more like 10-year strategic thinking, right? So I agree with the monetary one, but we need to add another layer to that ingredient, I guess. Peter, you wanted to come in?
Yeah, maybe just purely from the venture sort of early stage perspective. I think that the challenge, like when we look at startups, for example, getting a grant, right? The problem is that it's slightly related to what you were pointing at is basically the time frame of implementing the whatever the project is that they're getting the grant for is, let's say, 1 year or 2 years, right? But if we measure by this actual economic output or some sort of financial value, it's not going to be there, right? So it's almost, for many of the companies we work with, that's completely useless sort of exercise. And I think that's also one of the reasons why, as I mentioned, for example, in Denmark, a lot of these programs are basically, they're not even trying to measure those KPIs because like they're not relevant anyways. And oftentimes actually having those KPIs, it is what sort of distracts founders from actually working on what would be the most important thing. So I think in a lot of cases, there might almost be no KPIs. That sounds a bit odd, but I think it's basically you just need to give them room to build stuff. And then I think that the one way how we look at that and how that can be measured is basically, at the end of the day, the purpose of the public funding is to push that towards the private markets, right? Like, at the end of the day, generating revenue from the market, but as an intermediary step, potentially attracting financing from the private market. So that, in my opinion, would be a much better intermediate way, maybe not as a KPI of the project, but as a way how to measure the success of these grant programs, right? How many of these companies did we actually get to the place where they were able to attract financing from institutional investors, could be strategic partners, all sorts of private funding sources.
Mm-hmm. Or they were able to bootstrap.
Yeah, I mean, if they're able to do that, great. But back to your case, in many cases, that's just not, it's not going to get there. It's probably they're going to need another 5 or 10 years of private money financing them before they can actually make money.
Yeah. And in terms of the administrative burden.
Yeah, maybe some points to add. Actually, I personally would love to have grant programs where no KPIs are there. So it would be great.
I think treasury offices of countries will not agree with you guys here.
But you know, at least I saw in my experience, so innovators are very different. Projects are very different. People are very different. And I saw so many grant money hunters, let's name it so they're jumping one project to another and actually the main business is to attract grant, not mm-hmm. to go to the market with the product or the service. And what we need to understand or what we are not allowed to forget is that public money is taxpayer money. So it's not, sometimes we are loving so much our projects or our products that we say, hey, you are obligatory to finance it because I'm from here and I will boost the ecosystem and or the economy here, but it's taxpayer money. So, and if we are investing, we need to get something back. So, and in 1 year or in 10 years, it depends on the project, therefore, it's a very important point that every program is built on specific rules, specific requirements, and then we are back to the question, so is this the right money for my project? So this is something we are not allowed to forget. So this is taxpayers' money. This is not money from somewhere, from cash machine.
Yeah, no, there's no free money. And you make a point on the taxpayers' money, and I think that's a great point. And sometimes we were talking about this over lunch, right? About like how much of the taxpayers' money goes into managing the money, right?
Exactly. So, I mean, usually when we are coming up with a project idea, usually that's driven out of our R&D people. And the innovators, and all innovators, at least that I know, usually are not big fans of paperwork and reporting.
No one is.
So, I think it's very clear that there needs to be some level of reporting and also looking into the KPIs of a project, that's very clear. But for many projects, I have the feeling that we do a little bit too much. So maybe we should try to always think to how can this be reduced to a minimum, to allow the people to be creative and to be innovative and not to deal with the paperwork and justifying why they are creative. So I think that is something which probably large and small companies, startups or established business have the same thing, right? Because it's all blocking the workforce for all the good things that we want to invent. And so this is just a plea into these, project management organizations, which are, they're all in public, in public funded projects, even in European or national level, to try to limit that to the minimum. It's clear there needs to be something, but...
But not that much.
But
Peter, you want to jump in?
You want to finish?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, these KPIs are not going to make or break those projects, right? Like the outcome is not going to be any different if they do a tons of reporting. If anything, that's going to hurt the process. Me, I think, back to what you were saying regarding people hunting grants, there's people hunting private money as well, again. And I think that's, at the end of the day, the problem with that being public money is basically, it's hard to accept that there will be waste. And that's a natural sort of ingredient, right? Like if you do innovation, a lot of things are not going to work out. So theoretically, you're going to look at that grant program, oh yeah, this money was wasted. But like the same as in VC funds, right? Like we also sort of waste 90% of our money, but like it's only through that process of investing in that what becomes waste, you actually find the diamonds in the rough, right? Like, there's no work around that. And I think that's the problem with public money. They cannot accept that a lot of this money will be wasted, but it has to be wasted for there to anything to come out of it.
Yeah, that's a great. I think when we come from research, we understand that because a lot of the money that it's invested in research, it's obviously you're not going to see the outcome right now. You're going to see the outcome in many years, and it's about the compound investment that has happened, right? Not just those independent investments that have
been. And maybe you never see that return.
Maybe you never see it. Maybe it was a dead end.
Exactly.
And we got there because we had the funding, right? We had the funding available. So I'm conscious that we're about to get to the end. And I really wanted to ask you one last question to all of you. And it is, are we doing enough? Can we do more? So Savis, let's start with you.
For sure. You can always do something more.
Well, you need more innovators.
Every one of us here in the room. Yeah, sure, we can do more. But I think the one thing what we can do, every one of us, on daily basis. So we need to have more and more brave brains, so to say. So to be brave to go to new project, for new innovations, to find cooperation partners, to build bridges. So it's something what never be done. So we can do more. We can boost. We can make ecosystems bigger. We can do more. So we with such a mindset what we have here in the room. So we need to influence or impact people around us, and this will be very helpful for all of us.
Thank you. Peter?
Yeah, to add to that, I think it's definitely all about getting more people doing startups, doing companies. I think that's the main thing. I think we need to look at our educational institutions, our universities. There's a lot of smart people there. There's a lot of research there, right? With almost the same level of research probably as the US and Europe, right? But unfortunately, the commercialization of that is significantly lower, right? So we need to go in as early as possible to build the next generation of startup founders. And the more people we get into the funnel, the higher the odds that something comes out of that.
I like that. Yeah, it's a more brave people to break the ice. Christian?
I could very much agree with that one, to go in very early, but also to go in more real, kind of, because you mentioned it at the very beginning, will we just see another innovation labs and so on? it should be rather industry labs. And I'm not talking only about factories, a hospital can be the same and so on. So we have to bring them there where it's really happening, because then you can iterate faster, when you see the problems there and you solve them directly, kind of on-site. I think that helps with innovation, it accelerates it, it validates it way faster than they can have it, and maybe it's also more flexible, tangible, and sparks directly new ideas from there.
Yeah, maybe also here to join, I think we may want to develop more entrepreneurial mindset. Mm-hmm. And that could be startups, but that could also be established companies that allow exactly these routes to bring up these new ideas. Mm-hmm. And I think this is something that we probably need to influence in very early stages, either in school or at least at universities.
And from boardrooms as well. In boardrooms as well. Especially with big corporates. I mean, we have the 5G still. it's really hard to see the long-term innovation happening in some of the big telcos. Good. So we are on to the 5 minutes of questions. Do we have any?
So, questions, please. Just put up your hand. Any questions or maybe requests for funding? And
call out your name. Have them here.
Account number and tell me what you need. Yeah, that's the opportunity. Why not? There we go. Announce yourself, please, and let's go.
Hello. Yeah, hello, my name is Paul Spodjan. I represent an engineering management consultancy, a company from Latvia, and I represent this amazing XR Masters technology, what you have been enjoying during these days here. And we are really now pushing forward with a couple of projects in Latvia to really to achieve this this goal that Latvia, Riga can be the first megacity in the world. And we are very, very happy that the funding is there for innovation. And we are very proud working together with Digital Accelerator of Latvia. And we are happy that the team is also very innovative with their thinking and how we are moving forward with these applications. But there is still one general problem in our country, how I see it, that when you go out on the street and you talk to entrepreneurs and say, okay, hey, would you like to receive funding for innovation? They are a little bit confused. They say, okay, there are internal processes, external processes. For internal only, you go the other way, you invest your own money. Then they say, oh, it takes a lot of time, administration burdens, you need to wait 6 months, and maybe you will get it. They say, okay, 10,000 euros is still money, but many of them say, okay, it's a waste of time, it takes too much time. But then, of course, there is Digital Accelerator of Latvia. If there's also for external processes, for commercialization. But many companies, they don't know about them. So this is also, I think, important aspect on the government side, that there is more promotional activity saying, okay, what is what in the system? Because entrepreneurs are like going through the forest, and okay, if they know, then they understand, they go, but most of them, they don't have a clue where to go and to which organizations.
So suggestion is to advertise more.
So maybe, yeah, you can
provide guidelines, maybe. I don't know if you guys want to take the...
So, but actually, what works best? The question would be how entrepreneurs are finding organizations. So what is the best way to get to them, to get the information to them? So what works the best from your experience?
Yeah, maybe a short comment.
How badly they need money, that's the only way it works, right?
Short comment from my side. Thank you, Paul, for this explanation. And my belief is that we can always do more, as we concluded here. But if you really want to create your startup, to develop your product project, you should be able to find the right way for money. You always, at least in Latvia, so we are not so big country, so it's only almost 2 million people here. So actually, everyone knows everyone, so roughly, and you just need to ask. So I think you need you are project owner, you need to look for money. So, and will it's this money at the end of the day be from public funds or for private investors or whatever it will be, you will find your own way. I think the advertisement is there. We can do more, but it's there. So the question is, are you fighting for your success, or you are awaiting that the success will jump into your room?
So it's like a process of selection even. So if you find us, you're the right guy.
Yes, this is maybe. I don't know, is it the right answer, but this is the first sign. Are you a fighter and are you really want to develop your project, or you just are thinking you want to do it?
Thank you. So any closure on this, Maria? We have like 10 seconds left.
I want to add to that, if I may. It's really hard. It's not about not going to, and I'm wearing here my founder hat. Sometimes it's just you're overwhelmed. All you have is an idea, and you're like, okay, I'm going to start knocking doors, and you start knocking all the wrong doors. So sometimes if government organizations can help with initial ideas, oh, you know, there is this little funding, that this pot, like guidance helps. And that applies to venture as well. I think, Peter, you made a great point that it's maybe your business is not fit for venture. And that is something that should be said as well, right? From the very beginning, it's like, love your idea, go and find some money in you know, grants, because we're never going to invest in you. So I guess my conclusion would be to your question, I think we need more transparency. There is a lot available and a lot of ideas get funded, but we do need more understanding and more transparency.
Thank you very much.